quarter of one pepper on signature aggregation, and I'm going to present some other reasons why. So some context first. Okay, so we know that DLA signatures, it's a scheme for public signature aggregation, and it's something that is quite used in Ethereum 2 because of a specific property, which is it can be aggregated. Okay, it means that you have two signatures, you aggregate them, you got a single signature. You have 1,000 signatures, you aggregate them, you got a single signature. Okay, aggregation. There's a drawback, the verification is quite slow. Okay, it's a few milliseconds, so that's 1,000 times nearly slower than many verifications. So we got this in Ethereum 2, and if I simplify a little, the way it's used in Ethereum 2, you've got validators, they sign attestations, you've got thousands of validators, they sign thousands of attestations, but when you're going to check those attestations, when you're receiving a block, you won't have to check all the signatures, you won't have to actually, you will get actually all the signatures, because the block proposer with someone in the middle will aggregate them, and what you will have in the block is an aggregated signature and not the whole block. So it means that it's much smaller, and even if one verification is slow, you're saving thousands of verifications, so you're quite happy. More details on what it means to aggregate. An aggregation is both commutative and associative, which it means that you can do that in any order. Okay? That's very good for parallelization. You can have one set of signatures aggregated by someone, another set aggregated by someone else, and then you take this, you aggregate the resulting stuff, and you're done. You're done, except that this small point, which means if you have in two sets the same signatures, when you aggregate, you will have something bad, which is basically twice the signature, which is a little bit complicated to verify. So if we simplify, when you aggregate DLA signatures, you don't want to aggregate twice the same signature. Okay, if I simplify. And it's still so. The fact that you can aggregate them means that, oh, there are aggregation protocols around, just use one of them, and I will be there. And there are, I will not say thousands, but dozens of aggregation protocols, but none of them is Byzantine tolerant and fast. Some of them are Byzantine tolerant, some of them are fast, but not none of them is both. So if I ask what Ander is about, you can guess that it's aggregating the signatures, being fast, and we say fast, it's thousands of signatures aggregated in seconds. Byzantine tolerant, so you're going to aggregate between thousands of nodes, and some of these nodes will try to put the protocol down by any means. Okay? Definition of Byzantine. They can do whatever they want. And in real life, what you will have offered is nodes that are just dead and not responding. And we want something to be versatile. I mean by this that in a network, you will have thousands of nodes with different capacities, some of them very fast, some of them very slow, and with different network capacities. Some of them will be really well interconnected. There will be some graphs of nodes that will be connected, while some nodes will be somewhere in the middle of nowhere. So with bad latency, still you want to aggregate with all these nodes. And what does it mean for Ethereum? A possible plan to use Ander in Ethereum could be this one. If we look at the specification a week ago, what we add is basically in a shard, we target to have a community size of around 100, but we can have up to 4,000 nodes. So the idea here is, okay, if you can aggregate quickly, we don't really care about the size of the committee. In this range, it will be basically around 1 second of the time. As well, in Ethereum, you've got these beacon chain committees. So here it's basically everybody, and you try to aggregate for the beacon chain. And at this point, what you want to have is still safety. A possible way to do things is let's select a subset of the nodes from the committees, 16. And let's ask them to do the aggregation for the beacon chain. And you will have, at this point, an aggregation between 16,000 nodes. Okay, and you want this to be fast because the plan is if we can be very fast, around 1 or 2 seconds for this whole aggregation to happen, it means that in 2 blocks you've got your finality. So that's what we want to do, and we said that it doesn't exist today, we don't have such protocol, so how do we do that? So when you have such a problem, basically you're looking at complexity, you're going to look at time complexity and message complexity, and you will want more or less on this side if you can, and you don't want to be on this side of this graph. Okay? And we will see that some protocols, as GLS signatures are quite easy to aggregate, it's very easy to parallelize. So time complexity is easy to get. However, message complexity is much more difficult to have, and it can become totally crazy, very quickly. So the first thing to look at is just a simple gossiping solution. By simple gossiping, okay, you just flood basic gossiping stuff. You're just sending your signature to everybody. Everybody does that, and at the end, someone aggregates. Okay, and it's not that bad actually. So it's very advantage, of being very simple, and it's not absolutely bad. You will have this time complexity in log n, basically, because it's a peer-to-peer network, and you expect that you've got some interconnection. So the time complexity is good in theory, and the message complexity, if all the nodes in the network want to send one signature each and to receive all the signatures, it's going to be n squared minimum, depending on, with the flooding protocol, it will be a little bit more, but with the complexity will be n2, but with a constant a little bit large, and then you get some optimization of some protocol. And AppTorrent went this way, for example, and they aggregate with 2,000 nodes, it's a fixed size, much less than what we do, and they're around 12 seconds, which is an order of magnitude slower at 1 minute. And they're quite clear in that paper, they take 8 peers, which is not too much, especially if there are some bad nodes in this. And they clearly say, okay guys, that is future work. And we tried this, so, okay, we've got this issue with too many messages, and so on. So what we tried at the beginning is, okay, can we continue on a gossiping network, but can we kind of compressing things, like if we can aggregate, so as a peer, if we receive a signature, if we can aggregate, we will, and instead of sending our signature, we'll send something aggregated. Good enough. It implies that you verify at this point, because if someone sends you a bad signature, and you aggregate without verification, then your own signature will be bad, and that's like that. So you, when you start to do this, you have to verify what you're doing, the aggregation that you receive. And you really want not to overlap, because if you're sending something that is aggregated, and someone else has aggregated, and there's an overlap, you're dead, you can't aggregate. Okay, so you need to solve this. So what we did at this point, so okay, actually we know all the signers, there's a known list in this committee, so we can give them an ID just by using the public key that we know. We just solve this, and the position in the array will be the ID. So we know that we've got now a set of nodes with no poles. That's perfect. So here, in this example, we've got 8 nodes, ID 0, 1, and so on. And we are kind of organizing the aggregation by saying, okay, the node 0 will aggregate the signature from node 1, and that's it. So if you receive the signature from node 1, it aggregates. If not, well, they send it. Send for node 2 and 3, 4 and 5, and so on. And you can go then to the next level. If you have aggregated 0 and 1, and now you receive 2 and 3, well, aggregate. Okay. So that's the strategy. It's nice. It's nice, but the problem is the more it grows, the less difficult, the less possibilities to aggregate. Basically what you will receive is something difficult to aggregate, so you start to tune things, saying okay, I will wait a little bit longer, and so on, so you can do things, but you feel quickly that it's not going to fly very, very long. So you need to do something better. And at this point, we introduce a set of techniques. So actually, there's someone who worked on this in a non-Byzantine context 10 years ago. And it has exactly the same logic of, okay, you've got this, you know all the nodes, you know the ideas, and you're going, instead of kind of hoping that you will get the signature from one at a point. You're just organizing things, and zero is going to send its signatures to one because it knows that one will aggregate it. Okay, so there's a kind of first one, first level. And at this level, zero sends its signature to one, one to zero, two to three, three to two, four to one. Okay? And then we can aggregate. So it's aggregated, and it means that at the next level, when zero and one will exchange the aggregate signature with two and three, the aggregation will always succeed because it's a tree and there's no overlap by definition. And then you go to the next level, and so on, until you enter. So basically, you've got log n levels, which is good for time complexity. If one node is down, it's okay. This level, the aggregation is just zero, and they will aggregate with two and three, and that's it. That's it, and if you've got more nodes down, it's the same thing. Nothing will happen at the first two levels, and it will happen later also. There's still a little bit issue when I say it. It's okay, how do I know that a node is down? Do I have to wait forever? And actually, I can't know that a node is down by definition in the distributed system. I can see that I don't receive anything or that it does not reply, but I don't know actually. And it's worse because it's a bi-quantum context, so it can pretend to be there but not really be there. It can send half of a signature, a third of a signature, whatever. Okay? So, the way we do that, first we push the information. We're not querying someone to send us something. We just say, okay, here is our signature aggregated, and here is it. And second, everything happens in parallel. So we're not waiting for an answer from node one, or we're not waiting for a signature from node one to start the other level. So zero, at the beginning, is going to communicate with node one, but as well with node two and three. Of course, at this point, it doesn't have a signature from one, and in this case, it will never have. But it's okay, it starts. So zero will say, okay, hey, you can aggregate my signature. So at this point, maybe, two will have zero to three. And if we look at the others, it will be the same thing. They will start immediately, and then they will have updates, potentially, that will give them the full data. So you can represent it like this, communication all over the place, in parallel, whatever the level. So it's organized, but you communicate with everybody without waiting, which is obviously an issue if you have thousands of nodes. Because what I'm saying is, oh, let's communicate with everybody, right? But if I don't want to kill the network, I have to organize things a little. And the way it works, we basically have a dissemination period, which is 20 milliseconds. And every 20 milliseconds, we contact a new set of nodes. And we progress in the levels. So for each level, we contact a new node, and so on and so on. And that's it. We just do that. So at the point, it will reach the threshold. We just don't know when, but we continue every 20 milliseconds to contact another set of nodes.
Excuse me. Yes. So is that has the assumption that all every node has other nodes here?
Yes. Very good point. So yes, you know the difference between the pure gossiping and this one is this one. You know where is the node. I will have a lot of slides at the end of the fact that you know where is the node. So you know it's IP address.
So you know all the nodes.
Yeah. So in Ethereum, you know the list of members of the committee.
But in the current community, it actually has a limitation of the nodes, right?
So the way it could work is at the beginning, when you're a member of a committee, you say, oh, actually, as an aggregator, I will speak at these others. And then you're not doing a gossiping connection, you're doing a direct TCP connection with P2P. But it's a UDP message or a quick message. Actually, we try quick and UDP. Okay. I will have a lot of slides on this, but you understood correctly. Basically, you're doing, if I simplify, you're sending a UDP message. Zero knows the UDP address of this one and this one and this one. But all the UDP addresses are known. And zero is sending a message directly to this one. It's a full direct. I will have more details on that. So if we do that, basically we will have a login complexity. At each step, you're sending login messages, and I will have some slides explaining the complexity. So, actually, yeah, such as that. So the point is, okay, how do you know that you're not going to contact all the nodes that is going to finish? There's some maths on that. So there's the test that I will present, and as well there's the proof that it actually works and that you need to send login message to reach the threshold. But it's just random stuff. And from a mathematical point of view, it's based on concentration inequality to be sure that you won't have a set of nodes that won't reach it. Okay, the question is, are we sure that we won't have a subset of nodes that won't that will be very unlucky? And the question is to validate that node. Even if you're very unlucky, you still are to. And everything is random copy paste to just to say that it's complicated. It's not that complicated. And the last level that I'm going to, the last thing that I'm going to present is this ranking and indoing. So the point is, we said we want to support very different kind of nodes, so some nodes can be very slow. And we said that the BLS signature verification was very expensive. And we said as well that when you aggregate, you need to check that it's correct. If not, you're just going to create a mess. So because of this, some nodes won't be able to catch up with the number of verifications that they receive. And they may check signatures that are not very interesting, while we've got some aggregate signatures that are much more complete because they receive it later. Okay? So because of it, we just have a scoring mechanism, which is how much are you improving the signature that I have already. So we've got a score. When you have a score in the Byzantine context, you can have Byzantine nodes that will say, oh, here's a grand signature, verify it. And actually, this signature is invalid. So you will have wasted 5 milliseconds of your verification time, which can be a lot. And yeah, that's it. So the idea here is to have a ranking of the nodes. And this rank allows us to say, OK, at this point, we should be contacted by less nodes. And we've got a window that seems more or less logic. So we look into this logic, into this window, and we take the best score inside this window. And if, OK, it seems that people are nice here, we increase the window size. And if people, if we see that some signatures are failing, we say, oh, someone is likely trying to play with us, so we reduce the size of the window. And that's basically the main mechanisms for random. This fact that we're contacting the nodes directly, we've got a tree-based organization, so we are sure that we don't have any overlaps in our aggregation. We do verify our signatures. And ranking plus score. Now, if we test this, we don't have any sponsorship for Amazon, but that's where we tested it. So we run it on 10 different regions in Amazon. So some of them, you can see that it's quite fast. If you want to go from Frankfurt to Dublin, likely it's 12 milliseconds. But if you want to go from Frankfurt to Sydney, it's 282 milliseconds. And so we took this at 10 regions. We used the small nodes from Amazon, so it's a 1 core and 1 gigabyte of memory. And we wanted 2,000 of them, and we put 2 nodes on each, 200 nodes on each Amazon node. Okay, so you basically have 2 processes running this aggregation of each node. So obviously, when you do that, you're fighting for the resources, because with a single core for sure, but when verifying new signatures, one is verifying and the other one is waiting for the others. So we consider that it's a more critical context than the real one. But it has the advantage of being much cheaper to test than using 2,000 of big Amazon. And on this, we compare with a case where we just send the signature to everybody. And we add basically what was expected is a lot of data and a lot of time because you start to lose messages and so on. Compared to Andum, which reaches for 4,000 nodes, a full signature, 99% actually, in a little bit less than 1 second. Same for this one. In terms of data, we can see that we have 50 kilobytes of data exchange rather than 7 megabytes. That's per node, yeah. And we tried on Amazon if some nodes are not responding. And so we compare the time to reach the agreement depending on how many nodes you have available. So if you try to reach 51% threshold while all the nodes are there, it's obviously quite fast, around 600 milliseconds. And it's getting a little bit slower as you're missing some nodes, because basically at this point you want all the nodes to answer and you're around 0.8 seconds. So we tried on simulations more complicated things like attacks. So for example, this one is the case of you've got Byzantine nodes sending you bad signatures while you're trying to try your project. We test signature with 90% of the nodes being Byzantine, so quite a lot. It's a logarithmic scale, so it's still around 10 seconds in this context, which is reasonably good. Of course, in this context, you just want to have a 10% threshold, so as well as this. So that's in the paper. Now, the point that you are mentioning, the fact that it's a direct connection, that's an interesting point. It's really this idea of IP addresses. So if you have a gossiping network, you do have IP addresses, and they're actually, you can get an access to them. But it's a little bit that you can pretend that you're not known on the network and nobody knows that you're actually participating. It's a lie, because it's quite easy to find who is actually on the gossiping network. But it's a little bit hidden, while here it's not hidden at all. It's directly visible. So a lot of points on this. And for example, DOS. There's a key point which adds actually a little bit of complexity in handle, but it's the fact that you're pushing the information and you don't do queries. Okay. So you don't have to answer like a TCP query to something, you're just pushing things, which means that if we manage to have a single packet that goes out, we're happy. So we think that because of this, an attack is still possible, clearly, but it requires some hard work, let me say. Big question on anonymity. We know the contributors, we know their IP address, and we know their wallet, because they're stakers, so we can do the link IP address, wallet. That's bad. That's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, but don't forget that even in a gossiping network, you can actually guess who is who, because validators will move from one committee to another, so you just have to follow which IP address are in which committee, look at what are the wallets PK supposing to be participating, and after 1 hour or two, you'll be quite sure that you will have your one-to-one mapping as well. So it's a real issue, but it's not purely specific. And we can't actually, we pushed a proposal to a few weeks ago to remove this link by adding a set in the middle, and this set allows us to say, okay, we're known as a validator, but you can't know which validator we are. Okay? So it's basically an ZKP playing with, I'm a member of this set, here's the proof that I know one of the public, of the private keys, but I won't tell you who I am, but I can't do this twice, so it's set. Okay? So that it works as well in a way for gossiping, it's nearly independent. And then you've got the issues of this IP address stuff. And I don't think that's really a miracle, but it's how to hide your IP address. The well-known solution is an onion-like protocol like Tor. The problem in this is, OK, it's going to be more expensive because Tor is adding, onion protocol is adding loops in the middle. So we can't really try it, because if we try to do this, we will break Tor. But we tried in the simulator to look at what it means if some nodes, 20% of the nodes are behind, have an extra latency of 1 second. And what we see is we're still logarithmic and we're still reasonably fast with 20% of nodes behind. That's a simulation. Conclusion. The idea really is if you can aggregate very quickly, you can get finality very quickly. In our opinion, it's something with three different components, and I would say well-defined. There's one component in charge of doing the aggregation. There's one component in charge of having this cryptographic anonymity. We don't know your public key. And there's a network anonymity, which is, okay, you need an onion-based system that doesn't exist today, or not exactly, but could be done, and it's anyway and then network system, we've got this issue today. We've got a paper. The PUC that we use for the implementation is available, and what we use for the simulation is available as well. And time is up, so I'm just going to.
Take a question or two if you want.
Take a question.
Yes. So, if an EC2 client was that you might handle, on which part of the beacon node would it be? Like, where they enter the application pool? Or?
So, actually, it's funny because the Artemis client is going to implement it. Mm-hmm. And the way it's going to be implemented is by putting it on a separate node, a separate process, and sending it. Things to
aggregate.
You will have one under process per validator. Even if you know that we can share sometimes. But by default, the idea is to have something where it's decentralized. So the fact that it can work with very small computers helps the decentralization. You don't need to have one big node that do the pre-aggregation of 1,000 signatures for you. So that's the main thing that we target, even if we know that people will sometimes have that. But we really want to be first. Yes?
So I have two questions. And the first is that with the push convergence, you need to assume that the IDs are random.
Say it again?
For the push convergence, you need to assume that the IDs are random.
Very good question. The IDs are not random, but we shuffle them.
You need to shuffle them.
Yeah.
You have a protocol for that.
Good point as well, yes. We rely on a shared source of randomness to do this. Which is, I haven't detailed this because it's not new in that era, we already have this. In the future work, we could prove that we don't depend too much on randomness, but we haven't done this part yet. Because even if you don't have randomness, it means that you can choose your position in the tree. Okay, and for example, you can say, oh, I don't like this guy there, so all the Byzantine nodes will go next to him and will refuse to participate in the aggregation. Okay, they will pretend to or whatever. However, if they do that, it means that they are not on another part of the network. So there's a dependency and the analysis on the randomness. I'm not sure that in real life it depends so much on the randomness.
Second question, which is kind of all going on to the protocol, but will affect the timelines, is so what defense against rogue keys are you using for the DNS application?
So we consider it's a part of the application that we'll have to, like we do in Ethereum, we have to do a proof of possession.
You're assuming the proof of possession, yeah. It's not clear that all of this is going to be on the beacon chain, but all of the validators, that's a bit.
No? There will be a proof of possession on main chain. Yeah.
It's finished,
Yeah, sorry.
It's finished, that's enough. I can take that.